Amen. You and I choose to surrender. It's a funny word, isn't it? We got it all backwards, seems like. No, Christians, we actually have it right. When you choose to surrender to God's will and to His ways and to His word, you finally begin to see who He created us to be. Well, that's not the sermon this morning, so I'll not go down that one. That would make a good sermon right there, but let's not do that one. I didn't know Pastor was on a cruise. Man, we got the bad end of the deal, didn't we? We're stuck here in the, I guess it's not a cold day in November. It's been a lot warmer, but I think I'd rather be on a cruise this morning. But anyway, no, it's good to be with you here this morning, especially here at Calvary. It's been at least a couple of years since we were here, and so exciting to be with you again. I think it was 2 years ago. And of course, we spoke here when we were living in China at least two or three times. So I guess we've been up here four times or so, and we've spoken for the Arabic church. And done Sunday schools with you guys, so it seems like we're at home here. I'm sorry my wife couldn't be with me. You may or may not know this. She was just appointed as the pastor of Salvage Yard Bikers Church just 2 weeks ago today. And it's a church that meets down in Kankakee. It's a motorcycle church. I don't know if you think we look like bikers, but we're really not. They're a really out-of-the-box church, a motorcycle church. I mean, that's kind of their niche. That's kind of who they're trying to reach and who they are. And I think because we've served overseas, and especially in China, we're so out of the box and they're so out of the box. I think the two complete boxless kinds of groups of people came together and it was a perfect fit. So my wife is now the pastor of Salvage Yard Biker Church. And yes, she's wearing a leather vest and blue jeans and tennis shoes to preach in. And anyway, she can't come with me this morning. So anyway, it's just a blessing to be here this morning. We're actually very, very pleased to be a part of Central Chicago District now. For many, many years, we lived and worked in China. But then this little thing happened. Maybe you heard of it, COVID. And almost 5 years ago, we left China to get away from COVID. That's how long ago it started. I think it started in November 5 years ago. Can you believe it? And we had no idea we would never get back to China, but that was the way it was. The Lord said, I want you to slip out. We thought we would just go down to the Philippines for a little while and then come back to China a few weeks later when they got it under control, like SARS, you know, maybe 12, 14 weeks, and we never got back. But as a result of listening to the Lord's voice and obeying Him then, it landed us here for such a time as this, and we began to really look at ourselves and our lives when we realized we couldn't get back to China. What are we going to do? I don't feel a call to pastoral ministry. Otherwise, I might be the pastor of Salvage Yard Biker Church. But we decided we were going to found a new ministry, a ministry rooted in the proclamation of biblical unity, reconciliation, forgiveness, emotional healing, unity, binding the church back together in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the power of His word and His blood, to be unified again. We're not supposed to really be working separately from one another. We're supposed to be working together. We're so used to not working together that we don't think about it, but really Christ intended for His church across Chicago to somehow be networked together to serve. So anyway, we began putting this ministry together, and when we saw the vision for USA Canada, Church of the Nazarene region, now USA Canada, is a mission field. Now the United States and Canada region is no longer a mission sending field to all those places that need missionaries. Now we are also exactly same level playing field. We are now receiving missionaries here. We need them just as much as anywhere else in the world. And anyway, they came up with what they call the cycle to resurgence. Can you see that okay? Many people who see this on the USA Canada website just, you know, see a little diagram. Maybe you've never even noticed it before. It doesn't look like much to you. It's certainly not a gimmick or the latest thing. It's not the latest program from Kansas City. When those of us who have lived and worked overseas look at this, we actually see the heart of cross-cultural ministry. The absolute heart. These are the three core priorities of the church for mission. When the church is doing it right, when they're doing it well, you're doing these three things. They decided to go with three B's. Blessing our community basically means outreach, making connections in the community, and that's what I'm going to talk about here this morning, the great connection. And they're going to spend the entire year of 2024. Some churches didn't even notice this until, you know, late in the year. So they're going to try to spend a whole year just focusing on what it means to connect with your community. And then 2025 is a year emphasis on bringing others to Christ, evangelism. And then 2026 is on discipleship. These three core churches do lots and lots of things, okay? But when we keep these three things central, connecting with the community, knowing the community, loving the community, blessing the community, being a blessing in and to the community, in order to reach people for Jesus, in order to bring them into the church to disciple them, when we keep these core priorities central, the church is just going to grow. The kingdom is going to grow in any case. So we're partnering together with the Central Chicago District to provide coaching, mission coaching right now. And I've been talking with Pastor Ryan about maybe coaching Calvary Church. We can decide after these 2 weeks, you can decide, you know, do you want the coaching? District is actually funding it completely. They're paying us, the district is paying us our fee to coach churches for free. So there would actually be no charge to you. In any case, looking at blessing our community. And can I just say I'm really excited about today's message. I have taught and retaught this chapter of the Bible so many times I can't even count it. It's because it's like absolutely central to the kingdom growth over the last 2,000 years. If I'm teaching a missions class, church growth, church planting, evangelism, even simple discipleships, I always turn to Luke chapter 10. In fact, centuries before any of those fields were ever even founded and they had classes in them, the church just lived out Luke chapter 10. It's not a gimmick. It really is not the latest thing. It's not a program. This really is the heart of Jesus's method for reaching the entire world. So again, I've taught this Luke chapter 10 so many times I can't even count it. Doesn't matter which class I'm teaching, I almost always find a way to teach Luke chapter 10. It's because you've probably heard of the Great Commission. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. But you know, Jesus says that and we understand it. And we know it. You've heard dozens of sermons out of this probably. But Jesus doesn't actually say in Matthew 28 how to do it, right? And that's because he said it in a different place. So we're going to be looking at this particular lesson today, this message, lesson from Luke chapter 10, this sermon, is living out the Great Connection. And this is the actual how-to on doing the Great Commission. So reading Luke chapter 10, the first set of verses, and then skipping some verses. I'm going to be doing a two-part on this one, so we're going to skip some verses. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, 72 disciples. He's already sent the 12 out two by two. Now he's two chapters later, sending out 72 disciples. Wow, they're growing already. So he sent out 72 others, and he sent them two by two. We never go alone. Ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse, don't take a bag, or even sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house, shalom. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome there, eat whatever is offered to you." Wait a minute, didn't he just say that? Yes, Jesus commands it twice. Sermon next week is eat and eat again. That's the sermon. It's a much funner sermon because I talk about all the strange things I've eaten in the world. So anyway, it's a when you enter a town and are welcome, eat whatever is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. And skipping a few verses. The 72 returned with joy. Real, I mean, they were excited here, okay? That's what the Greek kind of implies. And they said, "Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name." And Jesus then gets excited and he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all of the power of the enemy." Not some, not half. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He just kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't he? At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. So you'd think after 28 years of pastoring, serving, associate pastor, serving overseas, training pastors especially. I started training pastors when I was 25 years old, way too young, when I was in Eastern Europe in Bulgaria, founded a school there, way too young to be training pastors. Some of them we were even older than us. You'd think after that many years of teaching pastors and looking at Luke chapter 10, I wouldn't see something new. But when I went to write this sermon about 2 years ago, to finally get it down and begin speaking this, I noticed something that I had never noticed before. And it's at the end of that. It is Jesus' reaction to this entire story. It says there, and I tried to emphasize this as we were reading, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Usually when we think of the theme of joy, we don't think of Jesus, right? We think of us, you know. Paul says, let my joy be complete. May your joy be complete. We think about Christian joy. We sang about it earlier, being filled with joy. We don't really think about Jesus as having joy, right? That just doesn't, you know, and we don't think about that. And that's probably because Jesus, in honesty, showed it so seldom, right? Usually Jesus is a little bit frustrated with his disciples, you know what I mean? Usually he's not super excited they're getting it. Usually he's saying something like, oh, ye of little faith, or how long shall I put up with you? You know what I'm saying? Jesus' reaction is normally a little bit irritated, a little bit frustrated because his disciples are not getting it. I mean, the original Greek says something like this, and Jesus spake unto his disciples, saying, thou hast given me a migraine. That's usually the way that it goes. You're killing me, guys. I've been teaching. You've been following me for 2 years, and you're still not getting it, but not here. Luke chapter 10, by the way, this is the only place Jesus is ecstatic. Jesus is like a little girl on Christmas morning who's just opened up the toy that she wanted. You know what I mean? So excited. Jesus is jumping with joy. The only place that it says that in the scriptures that I've found. And it doesn't just say Jesus is has joy, experienced joy, felt good. It says Jesus was full of joy and full of joy through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is laughing inside him, and he's just, you know, this picture. I love that picture. He is so excited. And not just Jesus, the disciples also are filled with joy. They're ecstatic. They knew, they'd watched Jesus do all these miracles, casting out demons and performing miracles. Then Jesus sends them out two by two. Can you imagine this? He's like, if you've been watching The Chosen, okay, they got a whole episode or two on this one where he sends them out and they're kind of like, gulp, that doesn't sound like a good idea, Jesus. You remember that? And they're struggling with the idea, but he sends them out two by two. No. I've given you authority. You got the badge, okay? You've been deputized. You now wear Jesus' name on you. And all the power that I've been showing you, it's yours now. So go. Just go and do it. Do what I've been doing. And they come back, and I guess they kind of expected that it would happen, but when it actually happens, you know, they're like, wow, oh my goodness. So they've been praying for people, healing people, and then they come back. Jesus, even the demons submitted to us. This is new. Nobody has had power over the demons until Jesus came, and now it's been given to us little guys. Us disciples now are getting this too. They are filled with joy. They're just ecstatic with joy. Everybody's filled with joy. Even Jesus says, yeah, I saw Satan. He was in a high place. He crashed and burned while you guys were gone. 72 of you went out, 36 different teams. Satan fell from the sky, and I saw it. This is actually Luke chapter 10, not complicated stuff. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do, but it is actually very, very simple. So I'm just going to walk us through Luke chapter 10. What they're so excited about is that they went and did what Jesus said. And if we go and do what Jesus said, believe it or not, you're going to find the exact same results. If we go out two by two, as Jesus has commanded, doing Luke chapter 10 in an American way, not a first century way. We're going to have to contextualize this in a second. We're going to get that. But first of all, okay, so just walking through this simply. First thing Jesus says is the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are a lot of people in the world today really who are ready to hear about Jesus Christ. Some reason the enemy has us believing that nobody wants to talk about God. The statistics are actually flipping as they are, it may be a result of COVID, it may be a result of all the stuff going on in the world today. The numbers are actually growing of the people out there in the world today who actually do want to have religious conversations. Statistics are very, very high. It's like 70 or 80% of unbelievers say that their Christian friends do not talk about faith too much. You're always like, don't want to talk about it too much. And 70, 80% of the people in the world who do not believe say you're not talking about it enough, not talking about it too much. If you talk about it at all, you're not talking about it too much. So just, you know, relax, okay? It's the enemy who's lying to you in your ears, and it sounds like your voice because it's in your head, but it's not you saying it. It's actually the enemy saying they don't want to hear. They do want to hear. The world is so desperate. The United States is so desperate. Young people are so desperate. They are so hungry that they're going to a dumpster with a spoon, climbing in and scraping the rust off the bottom for something to eat. You understand what I'm saying? They're willing to listen to anything out there. They're that hungry. The beauty of it is when they hear the truth, the real truth that is in Jesus Christ, they can recognize it, same as you and me. And because they're so hungry, they'll listen to anything. They really, really, really want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a revival taking place in Chicago right now. It is growing. It is expanding. It's not something you hear about. It doesn't make the news. But there are young people. My daughter was on a team who came up to Chicago on a regular basis, did cold turkey street evangelism with complete strangers, and you would not believe the response. People are flocking to Jesus Christ. She was so excited, my daughter, that they decided to do a training day down at KCC, Kankakee Community College, where my daughter was going to school. They talked to 9 people. How many people do you think accepted Jesus that day? Out of the 9 that they talked to, how many would you think? 2 or 3? How many? Not quite that good. 8 accepted Jesus. So they were so ecstatic, like Jesus in this story, that when I went to pick up Ellie J, the leader of the team, was like, Chris, you wouldn't believe it. He told me there were so many people accepting Jesus, 8 out of 9. He said, oh, we started asking him, do you know what you're doing? Do you really understand what you're doing? And they're like, yeah, we want this. Now, listen, hold on. Before we go any further, I just want to stop. Hit the brakes. We are not talking about Calvary Church of the Nazarene going and doing cold turkey evangelism on the streets, okay? If you want to do that, go for it, okay? You'll be surprised at the response. You really will be. We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about blessing our community, finding ways for Christians who don't feel comfortable, like my daughter, evangelizing on the streets. I don't feel comfortable doing that, okay? I'm not... I just can't bring myself to do that. How do I make simple connections with people in ways that build relationships and give me natural ways in which to share the faith with them? So that's what we're really talking about here this morning. I use that example because it's a great example. It also illustrates Jesus' words, the harvest is plentiful. The fields are white. This grain turns white. I think it's wheat or something in the original whatever they were growing back then, it's ripe. It's ready for picking. All we need is harvest workers. Pray. Jesus' first words are pray. The first thing we do always, always is pray. Mission revitalization begins with prayer. Revival begins with prayer. As a matter of fact, it doesn't just begin with prayer. It begins in the middle is prayer. The end is prayer. Everything is prayer. Oswald Chambers said, it doesn't fit you for the great work, that is, prepare you for the work. It is the great work itself. Prayer is the work itself. It is amazing what we accomplish, and you know this, just on your knees. Talking to yourself? No, you're talking to God, and something in the heavenlies is working. So Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Just ask. And by the way, you and I are the answer to that prayer. Centuries and millennia before, disciples have asked for harvest workers, and here we are. Jesus started with 72. Do you know how many people call themselves Christian in the world today? 2 billion people call themselves Christian. all of them Christian? Okay, we don't, you know, we can, you know, debate that later. But 2 billion people identify in some way, shape, or form with the name Jesus Christ and the religion of Christianity. We are the answer to that prayer. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to skip because I'm a little off script here. Jesus says, do not take a money purse or bag or sandals with you. It seems like as he sent 72 out, he should at least send them with a little bit of a backup just in case. Just doesn't seem like a good idea to go with absolutely no money bag. Later, of course, the disciples will take money and sandals and bags with them, but not on this one. The very first time that Jesus is sending them out to practice the Great Commission, he says, don't take anything with you. Don't take any money with you. He wanted them to see this extraordinary reality that the Father, who already knows what you need in advance, is preparing everything. I just want you to just relax and see. Doesn't seem like good advice. Seems like they should at least have a credit card for emergencies, right? Jesus says, no, just go. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, but just go. Don't worry. Nothing's going to hurt you. Don't go with any money because the Father's going to take care of you. Just watch. Just go. And so they did. And it, you know, it all happened exactly the way Jesus said. The beauty is, if we contextualize this in a modern American situation in our context here, is that really you don't need a whole lot of resources to do this. The great connection takes place just person to person. It's you don't need a whole lot of money. You don't need to take up a big offering. You don't need this and that. What you need is simply willing servants. I surrender what we just sang. I surrender, Lord, I'm obedient. I will go as I'm going, even. Just outing and abouting, just around here in the area. I'm just trusting, Lord, that a connection is going to be made somehow. We'll look at this in just a few minutes. You're going to connect me with whoever it is, just person-to-person connection. So his disciples don't need any money because somebody in the town that they're going to is going to take care of everything they need. The Father's already got a plan. Okay, so here's where we get to the hard part, the tricky part. Jesus said, I guess skip a slide here. When you enter in a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. Stay with them. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. Now, again, this is where we need a little bit of cultural explanation, because you see, in the first century, Jews who are traveling to Jewish towns would greet one another with shalom, with peace, and it's very, very common. Jesus is simply saying, go and greet people. But the catch is, Jesus is wanting them to connect with the one the Father has prepared, and the way in which they're going to know that the Father has prepared this person is when they get to the town, the two by two, they're going to go to this town, they're just going to greet people in the normal Jewish way, peace, shalom. And if someone who, the first person that they greet kind of looks down and is a stranger and wanders off because they don't want to talk to the stranger, okay, that's not the person, okay? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just greet people, greet people. Eventually, someone will greet you back, well, shalom. And they will greet as per the Old Testament commandments. They're supposed to, when a stranger comes to the village, when a stranger comes to these small towns, they're supposed to say, well, I can see you're not from here. Stranger, do you have a place to stay? Well, no, I do not. Well, stay with us at my house. That's the way it's supposed to work, as per the Old Testament commandments, as per Jewish tradition. That's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus is saying, when you go into these towns and you greet people, you will find someone whose heart is already for God. They're already following the Torah. They're already following the Old Testament commandments. You will greet this person. No, that's not the one. Greet that person. No, that's not the one. You will finally greet someone, and they will show you that they have a heart after God, because they will obey the Old Testament and invite you to stay with them. And they will feed you and they will take care of you. The disciples went and they did this. And they were so excited because it worked just the way Jesus said. Their Father in heaven, who already knew what they needed, had taken care of everything in advance. They didn't need money after all. They didn't need an extra pair of sandals. They didn't need a hotel reservation. It was all just fine. Jesus took care of everything. Now, that's first century, okay? We can't go around Chicago greeting people with shalom, you know what I'm saying, and expecting to get a normal response. How do you contextualize this? As we are like just out and about looking for people to make connections with people, looking to make the great connection, looking to fulfill the great commission. How do we do this? Now, often in missions, we call this finding the person of peace. It's taken right here from Luke chapter 10. You greet them with peace, they greet you back. Peace. You have found the person of peace. What that means is the person God is connecting you with, making the connection. We actually have a concept for this. We use the phrase all the time. Do you know the phrase? Anybody guess what I'm talking about? Divine appointments. We use the phrase all the time. Just felt like in a certain situation that God made a connection and you weren't expecting it, but somehow in the context, it wasn't first century Jewish, you didn't say shalom and they said shalom, come live in my house for a week and I'll take care of you. It wasn't anything like that. It was just somewhere you were out and about and you were speaking to someone and you felt the Holy Spirit somehow making a connection. This is important. I can tell this is important. Why is this person talking to me? Just sometimes someone at work. Why is it that that person at work begins to share with you more deep things? You don't have to be in a rush, okay? Don't be in a hurry. Just think to yourself, if this person's sharing deep things, just listen. Just listen. And think to yourself, wow, Luke chapter 10. Oh my goodness, I'm in the middle of Luke chapter 10. Person-to-person connection. The great connection is happening. The great commission is what God wants. Oh my goodness. This person is sharing with me. This happened to us right down in Bourbonnais. My daughter was being homeschooled a couple years ago because we had just moved here 3 years ago. And in one of the homeschool classes, we decided to take her to the local pool, to the YMCA. And her swim teacher started talking to my wife. Well, they knew each other, but why is she sharing deep, deep, deep things? Why? Well, my wife knew. She'd lived overseas and done this long enough. She realized, okay, God wants a connection here. And they built a friendship. They've begun talking about some of the deep, deep wounds that she's feeling. Simple, really, really, really simple. This is, again, not cold turkey evangelism. My wife didn't go up to her and say, hey, you need to hear about the Lord, like my daughter does. My daughter loves doing that kind of stuff, and she's effective. But my wife just gently allowed whoever comes to her and begins to share, that's the one the Lord wants me to connect with. Persons at work. Now, examples abound. Everywhere you turn. One of my favorite stories is from our time. This is a divine appointment for sure. Our time in Beijing, where my wife had this some ladies' Bible study that met in her house, in our apartment. And it needed some strengthening, some bolstering. It needed some maturity. We needed some leaders to join the group. The ladies were being discipled, and they have come a long way in the last 12, 13 years. It's really amazing to see Jenny Young now where she is from where she was 15 years ago. But my wife at that time really needed another leader in the group. And so she's praying, Lord, for lack of a better phrase, I need a harvest workers for this Bible study. Lord, can you send us just one more leader, a couple more leaders? One day my wife was in IKEA. You know, they have IKEAs there in Beijing, two of them. She was in IKEA and she decided to go up to the fourth floor and eat lunch before she went around and shopped. You know, it's just a fun place to go, IKEA. When she went upstairs and got her IKEA hot dog or whatever it was she was eating, it's probably IKEA chop suey, you know, or something, you know. They made really good Chinese and American there. I should say Swedish. It was probably a Swedish hot dog. As she's up there, she hears someone is singing live. Someone's in a corner set up to sing live, gotten permission to sing there, singing some Chinese song my wife doesn't know. She's not really paying attention until two or three songs later, and she hears a song that she very, very, very clearly recognizes. In the English, this woman, this Chinese woman, began singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. My wife, all of a sudden, her antenna goes up. Oh, my goodness, what is going on that a Chinese woman is in IKEA, a public place with hundreds of people singing a Christian song here in China? And the Lord said, I want you to go talk to her. And my wife was like, oh, you know, and she starts having an argument. Well, she didn't really argue with the Lord, but she's like, you know how it is. When the Lord says something, you really aren't afraid. You just, you know, really, Lord, are you sure you want me to talk to her? And the Lord's like, yes. And if you know my wife, she's absolutely surrendered to the Lord. If she knows it's God, she's going to do it. So then the only debate really was, well, how am I supposed to talk to her, Lord? And the Lord gave her the perfect shalom statement. She didn't go up to her and say peace. She went up to her and said what the Lord gave her. It was a perfect connection. It was the perfect thing to say. She said, "You have a lovely voice. Wow, you really sing nice." "Well, thank you." And they said all this in Chinese, of course. And she said, "I noticed you were singing an English song. This is really smooth, okay? The Lord gave her this. This is how to make the connection, how to greet someone. I noticed you were singing an English song." Yeah. "Do you know what that song means?" To which the woman replied, "Well, of course I know what it means. I'm a Christian." Okay, the connection had been made, okay? Connection was made. Oh, and sure enough, this woman was looking for a ladies' Bible study to join. She'd been praying, "God, I need some place to go." So my wife is looking for a mature believer. This mature believer is looking for a Bible study. And because two ladies just have enough godly guts to address a stranger in an appropriate way and to sing Amazing Grace in Chinese public, a great connection was made. Sometimes a great connection takes place with believers, believers and believers working together. Like I said, it's unity. It's the church in Chicago working together. What are the churches around here? What is their hope? What is their desire? What do the Christians in this area want to do together so that we can make a significant impact right here in this circle that we call a community? Sometimes it's with fellow believers, okay? Sometimes that connection takes place with other Christians who have the exact same heart as you do, and you say, "Let's partner together." Divine connection takes place. And sometimes it's with unbelievers. Just as simple as you're out and about, you just start having deeper conversations than you expected, and you think to yourself, "This was a divine appointment. This is the Lord directing me, directing that person into my life. This person has a need, and I have the answer. I don't yet know how Jesus applies to this need. I don't yet know the timetable. I don't yet know when I'm going to get to talk about Jesus. But at some point, as I keep praying, as I keep seeking, as I keep obeying and trusting, the Lord is going to give me an opportunity." Luke chapter 10. Easy stuff. Simple stuff. It's not always easy. Very, very simple, though, isn't it? Just pray. Keep your eyes open. We've been coaching several churches down in the Bourbon area. It's fun to watch their eyes. Bradley Church has been partnering with us. We're coaching them, walking them through listening prayer, walking them through just going in their community, their jobs, keeping their eyes open. It's fun to watch them come back a month later after that training, and one girl with tears in her eyes saying what the Lord has begun to show her. She's just seeing things differently. She's seeing the harvest white, ready, ripe. God has changed her perspective. We all need our perspective changed, I guess. I know I did. Even before I started coaching, I believed that this stuff would work, but to actually watch it, I believed that if it worked in China, surely it'll work in America, but to actually see it working in America, I feel like Jesus' disciples. I'm kind of getting excited. Well, just one last encouragement. As you're praying for harvest workers, for his harvest field, remember that God's team is very, 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 very big. If you're praying for a family member, family often does not reach family. Don't forget, God's team is very, very big. Somewhere out there, that family member you're praying for is connected with a Christian. And if that believer is obedient, and many of us are, they'll share, and the moment will happen. So keep praying for that person that you don't even know. It could be my daughter. It could be that my daughter is going to cross paths with whoever it is you're praying for, and the great connection is going to take place, and the great commission will be fulfilled. So be encouraged. God's team is very, very big. 2 billion strong and growing. I think that's Flintstones, Vitamins, that old song. 2 billion strong and growing. Well, I'll be here next week, and we're going to have a good, fun message on eat. Eat whatever is given to you. Jesus says it twice. It must be important. But no spoilers. That's a fun message. Let me just pray with you as we close out this message. Thank you, Lord, so much for the reality that your Holy Spirit is already connecting us with people. We just need eyes to see. Sometimes we're nervous. Sometimes we're a little afraid, and that's okay. That's quite normal, Lord. Help us to see the right way of talking, the right way of sharing, the right way of connecting, just the right questions to ask. Oh, and give us that godly, those godly guts. Consecrated confidence, just to trust, Lord Jesus, that if you put them in our lives, if they've begun to open up to us, then, Lord, it's your Spirit at work. And where your Spirit is at work, you are very, very powerful. And we don't have to do the convicting and the convincing, because you said in John 15, that's your Spirit's work. You're already doing that. We just need to gently share the truth that Jesus is the answer. Bless Calvary Church this week. Open our eyes to what's going on around us, Lord. Open my eyes down in Bourbonnais, Kankakee, and Bradley, Lord, with what's going on this week. We pray all this in the precious, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.